Welcome to the Next Distinctive Coaching podcast, in which I'm talking to Louise Dealey. Louise is a chartered sports and exercise psychologist, initially a university lecturer, ran her own company, Inside Performance, working with world-class coaches, athletes and sports performance professionals. Now Louise is head of performance for Mandara Capital, a leading derivatives trading company in the city. At Distinctive People, we're speaking to a range of coaches about coaching for performance and the lessons we can learn in business from sport. The coaches we're meeting have a personal experience or interest in a particular sport, and we're delighted to be speaking to Louise. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Penny. Nice to be here, and thank you very much for inviting me along.
You're very welcome. Lovely to catch up with you today. I know you're a chartered psychologist with a background working in sport, but I'm curious about how your experience of working in the sports sector shows up in your coaching and development work you now do with traders.
Yes, it does seem quite a departure from the sports world. And I suppose if I'm totally honest, it was a little bit of a surprise to me, you know, when I found myself here. But I think, you know, reflecting on what I bring from sport and how sport and business correlates, I think the number one for me is always about the people. So as a psychologist, as a behavioral psychologist, I'm very interested in, you know, what people do, how they do it, how they bring about their own performance. And so really, I suppose the fundamental thing, starting point, is looking, hearing, feeling, you know, what people do, how they think about things, how that thinking manifests on a day-to-day stage, I suppose, in terms of how it creates different feelings within them, and then how that thinking and feeling, when it comes together, really creates the behaviours that they do. Because I suppose when you boil it down and you think about performance in any sphere, whether it's sport, whether it's in the workplace, it's all about the behaviours that we do, because the behaviours we do lead to the performance that we get. And so I think for me, having worked in sport for a number of years, the key thing that's always been at the heart of what I do is identifying what it is that people do and how they do it. And if that works for them, brilliant. And if it's not working for them, how can we change some of the variables that are affecting their behaviours so that they get a different outcome and they can get a different performance? So I think, you know, when I think about where I am now, that's the same principle in sport. So, you know, in sport, I'd be working on the psychological side. I'd be working with performance teams. I'd be working with the teams around athletes and around teams. But fundamentally, it is really about how you kind of like support those people to get the best out of themselves and out of others. And so I think that would probably be my key take. And I think that follows through, you know, in all industries. I mean, you know, gone are the days where, or at least it should be gone, are the days where we're not paying attention to our people, because those are kind of like way down the list. You know, our people are our number one. And so as a consequence, it's about what's happening with them. I think probably a second thing that has come across really with me, and I think this is probably where it's a little bit more prevalent in the trading field, is the competitive nature of sport as an industry. And I think that's fundamental, because trading is I think of it as an intellectual sport. You know, it might not necessarily have the physicality, but it's an intellectual sport. And by its very nature, it's competitive. You know, you need drive, you need curiosity. It's something that when you come in the morning and you're not driven and you're not curious to work out how you can better the situation, and you're not excited by it, then you're in the wrong role. And I think that that's very similar to sport. You know, people in sport are very driven, very competitive. You know, they strive for success. They want to be the best in the field. And I mean, and interestingly, and I've worked across the board, you know, with elite performance. I've worked with relative beginners. I've worked with, you know, the weekend warriors who are very keen. And actually, competitiveness, it's irrelevant, really. It's there within anybody that participates in those kinds of fields. You know, I mean, exercise can be extremely competitive, you know, looking over at who's running at what speed on the next treadmill and so on and so forth, as well as competing with ourselves. So there's lots of reflections from you know, that world that comes into the trading world as well. And then I think probably the third thing that I would say to your question is, you know, I mean, I've been really privileged over the time that I've worked in sports, because not only have I had the opportunity to train others, you know, I've sometimes stood in front of people and I thought, goodness me, what am I doing here? I look out at people who, you know, have been famous faces that we've seen competing, you know, previously themselves. But what I realize is I've learnt as I've gone along from some of the best in the business. I've learnt from the principles that many different sports have looked at to get the best in their fields. And, you know, it's a two-way process. It's not about dissemination of knowledge from one person to another and then that's it. It's that shared exchange of information that's so been so important. And I think all of those lessons, you know, from those people in many different ways have kind of stayed with me. And, you know, that's one of the things for me coming into this different environment is really important. It's that shared dissemination of information. It's about how can we look at things differently to get the best out of people, and also be really positive about that collaboration, about that sharing of knowledge, about that, you know, just, I suppose, throwing ideas around to see what might work, what's absolutely ridiculous, you know, and what might be something in the middle. So I think, you know, I'm very lucky from that perspective, and all of that kind of like shared knowledge has come with me.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's some really great insights there, Louise. You know, I like the way that you described, you know, that deep dive into looking at behaviour and helping people assess the behaviour patterns, and, you know, the combination of tapping into competitive spirit with that shared exchange and that partnership working, you know, as a coach with you, with your clients, whether it's in sport or in the trading world. And why do you feel the focus on peak personal and individual performance is important to teams and organisations achieving higher, you know, helping them to achieve high performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's about, I mean, people look at it differently. So, you know, on one hand, we can kind of look at how do we avoid certain things? You know, so one of the things that's, you know, come up a lot with conversations, both, you know, inside the industry that I'm in now, and also outside with, you know, friends and colleagues talking about what I'm doing now, is saying, you know, things around kind of, you know, burnout, and making sure, you know, that we're looking after people. But I think the looking after people for me is about building capacity from the outset. So it's about how do we get everybody in the right place so that they can thrive in the role that they're in, because we have worked on, for example, you know, their physicality, you know, how well they are, what's their, you know, their endurance abilities. I mean, not necessarily from a sports perspective, but from a wellness perspective. So promoting, you know, well-being, healthy eating, you know, emotional recovery. so that we can look at managing energy, because really, fundamentally, you know, it's all about managing energy. It's all about the proportion that we put in different places. So for me, I think it's the premises when I first came in here was, right, let's have a look at this. How can we start building these platforms so that the people that are working within the industry, especially our traders who work incredibly long hours, incredibly hard, their intellectual capacity and energy usage from that perspective is extremely high. So it's, how do we make sure that they can balance that? So there's an effective energy management that's going on, and putting the habits into place that help that. So it's about building the physicality. It's about understanding our emotions internally within ourselves and how our emotional responses to what's going on moment to moment can either be a positive force for building our energy or can be a drain for taking our energy away. So I think that's also something. And then, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, I've got good physical capacity, you know, I'm working on how I feel about things, what my emotions are doing, it then gives us greater bandwidth to think about, okay, what's going on mentally for us. And so we can focus our mental energy on the things that we need to, you know, be doing, what's happening with the markets, you know, how we kind of like assessing risk, all of the things that the traders do. And when all those things are in place, it helps us with drive, it helps us with motivation, it makes us jump out of bed in the morning, you know, because we're really enthusiastic, because we want to get in, because that challenge is there, but it's a positive challenge. It's not a, oh my goodness, I can't, you know, how do I deal with this? It's like a, yeah, let me at it. And I think that's very much how it's similar to sport, because athletes are very much like that. When they're in a good place, they can't wait to get out there and do the competing.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm curious, Louise, are there any sort of little tips that, you know, different people that you've been working with recently have embraced that, you know, our listeners might find useful? Any examples?
Yes, absolutely. So I think one of the things is start with understanding yourself. Notice what's going on in your body. Notice when you have a physical reaction to something, because these will be triggers. These will be, you know, your unconscious mind saying to you, oh, there's something happening here, you know, good, bad or indifferent. The thing is if we don't know ourselves and we don't start with self-awareness, it's very hard to then think about how we might control emotions and control our responses to certain triggers that happen, you know, throughout our day. Because if we're totally oblivious to what's going on internally, you know, we're never going to get anywhere. So, you know, first and foremost, I would say, yeah, pay attention to that. Then I'd also, when we do notice those things, be curious about it. You know, ask yourself, oh, that's really interesting. I'm having that response to this situation. What could that be about? Because that can open up all sorts of personal consideration to start the journey, especially if it's somebody that's never really thought about like that. You know, I always think about people, and I know because I used to be one of these people who was, everything was from the neck up. It was all about your head and the thinking and the analysis and what have you. And it really opens up another world to improving performance when we notice what's going on below the neck as well, because those triggers are, they're unconscious, they happen automatically, and as a consequence they are messages to say pay attention to something here because it's important. So I think that would be what I would say, you know, first and foremost. And then I suppose the third tip would be cut yourself some slack if something, you know, doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, because it's about it being safe to fail, really. You know, I mean, failure, as we all know, is an opportunity to learn, and we need to feel safe and have that, you know, environment, that culture where we can, you know, be open about, oh, this didn't go well or that didn't go well, and not feel like, to coin a phrase, we're going to be put on the naughty step, you know, for doing it. We need to be able to have that openness. So I think maybe those would be three things that very simple that we could do straight off the bat.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And I'm sure, you know, we can all tap into that. So and just to round off, you know, are there any other lessons that you've learned from being a coach psychologist that resonate with generating high performance in the workplace?
Well, like I've just mentioned, I think that's sort of like the idea of safe failure is a key one in the workplace. I also think as well, patience is something that I think is really important. You know, I always want everything to have been done yesterday. A lot of people do, especially in, you know, competitive environments where there is a lot of push. But I think it's that thing of, you know, if you can take that deep breath, you can just hold fire and go, right, let's just, rather than, you know, jump into something with 2 feet and not think about it, is just to have a little bit of patience and recognize that it takes time to build these platforms until you get there. But then once you do, they're really safe and solid. And then another thing, I think, probably that, you know, I've bought from maybe working across different sports and in different kinds of cultures, is the importance of clear and timely communication amongst teams, amongst the people that are going to be impacted by any changes, anything that's happening. I think that's really important, because that then gives people not only knowledge of what's going on, but also ownership to be able to do something about it. And it also, down the line, I think, stops sometimes the firefighting that can happen, because suddenly, you know, the proverbial hits the fan, as it were, and, you know, we're all sort of like scrambling to sort something out. Whereas I think if you get clear lines of communication, that can really help things, you know, a bit further on.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Louise. Lots of tips and great advice, and, you know, really interesting points about, you know, that we can all learn from and apply, you know, whatever sphere we're in. So thanks very much, Louise. Thanks all for listening. For further information on this topic, do contact us, and look out for our next podcast shortly.
Thanks, Penny. It's been great.